All right, let's build that smoky warehouse swing in Ableton Live 12, the kind of jungle and old-school DNB pocket where the drums don't just hit, they lean. The big idea today is simple, but it changes everything. In proper jungle, the kick isn't just on 1 and 3. The feel comes from micro-timing, accent patterns, and how you manage weight. And weight means what stays rock-solid in the sub versus what's allowed to move in the mid-knock and transient. By the end, you'll have a 4-8 bar loop around 170 BPM, where the break drives the roll, the kick has swing that actually reads as DNB, and the whole thing breathes like a late-night system in a dusty room. Let's go. First, set your tempo. Put it at 170 BPM. That's the comfort zone where this style really makes sense. Now create three tracks. One MIDI track called Kick Rack, one audio track called Break, and optionally a bass track, MIDI or audio, just so later you can sanity check the pocket. You don't need the bass to do the groove work, but it helps you confirm if the drums are leaving space. Here's why we're separating tracks. If you swing everything equally, you usually lose punch. The art is choosing where the swing lives. Now we build the kick. On your kick rack track, drop in a drum rack. We're going to layer the kick into two jobs. The first layer is kick sub. This is the weight. Tight, clean, centered. Think shiny low, or a kick that's mostly fundamental and not a lot of click. Put that on a pad, like C1, at EQ8. Low pass it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, fairly steep. You're basically telling it, your job is low-end stability, not character. If it's getting too boomy, try a small dip around 50 to 70 Hz, but don't go crazy. Second layer is kick knock. This is the chest and the talk, the beater, the mid-punch, the presence. Put that on a neighboring pad, like C sharp 1. At EQ 8, high pass around 120 to 180 Hz, so it's not fighting the sub. Then if you need bite, a small boost in the 2 to 4K range. Careful, though, old school bite is more knock than needle. Now group those two chains inside drum rack, so you can process them together. And on that group, at saturator, set it to soft clip, drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB, and start around 3. Then trim the output so you're not fooled by loudness. We want denser, not just louder. Quick teacher note, if you crank saturation and suddenly the kick feels later or smaller, it's not magic, it's transient shape. Saturation changes the front edge, and that changes perceived timing. So keep it tasteful. Next, program a kick pattern. Make a 1-bar MIDI clip to start. Put kicks on 1.1.1 and 1.3.1. That's the classic skeleton. Then add an occasional ghost or lead-in kick. Try a light hit around 1.2.4 or 1.4.4. Keep it quiet and short. Velocity-wise, make your main kicks hit hard, like 100 up to 127. Ghost kicks somewhere like 35 to 70. That's already half the groove, because old-school feel is accents as much as timing. Now choose a break. Drag an immense style. Think, hot pants type break onto the break track. Turn warp on. Use Complex or Complex Pro to keep it safe on the transients. We're not trying to fix the break into a grid right now. We're trying to learn its attitude. Now right-click the break clip and choose Extract Groove. Then open the groove pool and find the extracted groove. This is key. That groove is basically the DNA of your shuffle. Jungle swing usually comes from the break's internal push and pull, not from a generic swing 16 preset. Now apply that groove to your kick MIDI clip, but do it gently. Select the kick clip. In clip view, choose the extracted groove in the groove dropdown. Start with timing around 10 to 20%. Random at 0 to maybe 4%. Tiny. Leave velocity at 0 for now, just so you're not changing too many things at once. And set bass to either 1/16 or 1/8 depending on what the break is doing. A quick tip here, bass is a field decision. If the shuffle lives in 16 THS, bass at 1/16 usually locks better. If the break feels like a loping eighth swing, bass at 1/8 can give you that early rave push. Try both. Don't assume, and don't hit commit yet. Not yet. First we listen. Here's your listening checkpoint. Your kick should start to nod with the break, but the downbeats must still feel planted. If the whole groove feels like it's drifting, you swung the wrong part. Now we get to the secret sauce, the part that makes it warehouse. You swing the knock, not the sub, because the sub is your anchor. If the low end arrives late, the room feels unstable. But if the transient leans late while the sub stays centered, you get that heavy, smoky drag without losing impact. Cleanest method, split them. Duplicate the kick rack track so you have two tracks. One is kick sub, one is kick knock. On the sub track, keep groove timing minimal, like 0 to 8%, almost straight. On the knock track, increase groove timing, like 18 to 35%. Optionally add a little random, like 2 to 6%, to add smoke without turning it into sloppy timing. Now, coach note, while you set this, do pocket reference monitoring. Solo only the break and the kick knock. Mute the sub and mute bass. Listen to whether the knock feels like it's answering the breaks, hats, and ghosts. If it starts to feel conversational, you're in the zone. Then bring the sub back in and check if the low end still feels centered. If you don't want to duplicate tracks, the quick method is track delay. Put the knock on its own track or chain that you can delay, and use the track delay control. Try plus 5 to plus 15 milliseconds to lay it back, or minus 5 to minus 10 to push it forward. Rule of thumb: late knock equals smoky and heavy. Early knock equals edgy and aggressive. Same pattern, different attitude. Now, something people miss. Micro timing is not the same thing as groove amount. Sometimes you don't need more groove overall. You just need one hit nudged. A very common jungle move is leaving the main downbeat kick exactly on grid, but nudging only the lead-in ghost kick later by a few milliseconds. So if your groove feels good except one spot feels too eager, don't blame the whole groove. Fix the one note. Now let's do a phase sanity check, because this can absolutely fool you. When you offset layers, you change how they sum. If you add swing and the kick suddenly loses chest impact, it might not be wrong groove. It might be layer alignment. Quick test. On one layer, drop in utility and invert polarity, left and right. If it gets louder or more solid when inverted, you've got phase fighting. Don't leave it inverted as your solution, but use that as a clue. Then realign sample start times, adjust track delay, or shorten one layer so the transient relationship behaves again. Next, glue the groove. Group your kick and break into a drums group. On that group, add glue compressor. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto, ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is not about squashing, it's about making the kick and break breathe together. Then add EQ8. If it's too thick, a gentle low shelf dip around 120 Hz. If it's too dull, a tiny lift around 3 to 6K. Tiny. You can always add character later. Optional warehouse grit. Drum bus on the group. Drive around 2 to 8. Crunch low, boom very careful. In DNB, boom can get out of hand fast, especially once bass enters. Now, let's make it feel like a real 8-bar roller, not a static loop. We're going to automate the groove intensity. On the knock, automate the groove timing or the track delay across 8 bars. For example, bars 1 and 2, timing at 15%. Bars 3 and 4, 22%. Bars 5 and 6, 28%. Bars 7 and 8, drop it back to 18% to reset the tension. If you're using track delay instead, maybe plus 8 milliseconds in the rolling section, plus 12 in a pre-drop tease, then back to plus 6 on the drop so it punches tighter. This is a classic trick, tighten, don't just get louder. Now some quick extra sound design that fits the vibe. If you want the knock to talk without adding harsh top, try saturator on the knock layer in analog clip mode, drive 1 to 4 dB, then EQ8, a small wide bump around 700 Hz to 1.5K, that cardboard knock zone, and a gentle dip around 3 to 5K if it turns clicky. Also, transient length is underrated as groove control. If your knock sample is too long, swing can feel messy because the tail overlaps hats and ghosts. Shorten it with simpler by reducing decay, or use a tight gate. Short knock plus stable sub means you can swing harder without smearing the pocket. For extra smoke, do a dust layer return. Create a return track with vinyl distortion or very light redux, then auto-filter high pass around 250 to 400 Hz. Send a little break and a tiny bit of knock to it, not the sub. That gives you hazy air without washing the low end. And keep your low end disciplined. Put utility on the drum group, and set bass mono around 120 to 180 Hz. Once you start doing timing offsets, mono low end helps you hear the pocket more clearly. Now, a quick 15-minute practice run you can repeat until your ear gets sharp. Load a break and extract groove. Make your two-layer kick. Apply groove so sub is 0 to 8% and knock is 20 to 30%. Then make three versions. Version A, knock track delay plus 10 milliseconds. Version B, 0 milliseconds. Version C, minus 7 milliseconds. Bounce or freeze those and do a blind A and B test. Don't look at the numbers. Just ask, which one feels best at low volume, which feels best loud, and which leaves the most room for bass. Before we wrap, Common mistakes to avoid. Don't swing the sub layer too much. That makes the low end feel late and unstable. Don't crank groove timing to 50 or 100% unless you want drunk drums. Keep random small. Above 10% you usually lose repeatability. Don't over-quantize the break and delete the human feel you extracted. And don't ignore velocity, because timing without accents still sounds stiff. Recap. Use the break as your groove reference by extracting groove into the groove pool. Keep sub timing stable. Swing the knock for warehouse weight. Dart subtle, 10 to 35% timing, low random, then fine-tune with track delay in milliseconds. Glue it with gentle compression and tasteful saturation. And create movement by automating groove intensity over 8 bars. If you tell me your BPM and which break you're using, I can suggest a tighter timing range for sub and knock, and a kick placement that tends to lock with that break's pocket.